2013. This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the sunny suburbs of Chicago. I really appreciate you joining me today on RBN for people who can handle the truth. RBN's website is republicbroadcasting.org. To see the guest lineup and relevant links for this program, please visit spingola.com. Click on the radio schedule button, then the appropriate month. I posted the PDF files associated with last Thursday's program on my schedule page. Be sure and download those. During the program, email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. I only look at the Yahoo email account during the program. If you want to reach me any other time, email me at deanna@spingola.com. I get lots of email and cannot always respond, but always try to. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. One of my guests today said the following in a video that I recently watched, and I quote, "Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Ingrid Carlqvist, and I was born in Sweden in 1960 when the Social Democrats were going to rule forever and ever, and our country was the nicest and safest and most progressed in the world. Now I live in Absurdistan, a country that is has the highest figure of reported rapes in the world. Hundreds of so-called exclusion areas where people live outside the Swedish society, and with newspapers that hide all these horrible acts, facts to the people. I feel just like Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. A tornado came and blew me miles and miles away from home and dumped me in a country I don't know. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Sweden anymore. Like Dorothy, I'm searching for a way to find my home. But on my path, I only meet lions without courage, scarecrows without brains, and tin men without hearts," unquote. My guests today are Ingrid Carlqvist and Lars Hedgaard. The websites associated with them are D-INTL.com, which stands for Dispatch International, a newspaper that they founded. And the other website is IngridCarlqvist.se. Welcome to the program, Ingrid and Lars.
Hello, thank you.
Hello, thank you.
Ah, so nice to hear you. I have Scandinavian background also. My grandmother was first generation from Denmark. And so I feel like I have commonality and some background with you.
Thank you. That's nice to hear.
Yes, yes. All righty. You made that video, which I watched and which I hope that other people, listeners, have watched. And tell me first just a little bit about this newspaper.
Well, we started this newspaper in January, because both Lars and I are journalists since many years, and we are both fed up with the mainstream media and all the lies that they are presenting to the people. You see, we have a lot of problems with mass immigration, but all the politicians and all the journalists, they have decided that there are no problems, and if there are, the people are not supposed to know about it. So that's why we started this newspaper.
And you can say that, in addition, you can say that.
Folks, I'm sorry, we do have to go to a real quick 3-minute break, and then Lars, when we get back, we'll pick it up with you. Be right back in 3 minutes.
Golden. Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guests today are Ingrid Carlvist and Lars Hedegaard. Am I saying your name correctly, Lars?
Well, the name is Lars Hedegaard, although we don't quite pronounce it that way in Denmark. But that's close enough. I'm happy to speak to a fellow Dane, by the way. Ingrid just described the situation in Sweden, which is very bad. It's somewhat better in Denmark, not in terms of the problems, but we can speak more freely in Denmark than you can in Sweden. And so that's why we decided to start the print newspaper in Sweden, where they really need it. But in addition to problems such as immigration, there are several other issues that you cannot touch. Such as man-made global warming, which is somewhat dubious, I would say. Israel, for example, the issue of multiculturalism. Everyone is also supposed to love President Obama, and people are certainly entitled to do that, but they also need a balanced view of America. And that's what we're trying to achieve.
Wonderful. Now, have you had any negative reaction to your newspaper, to the publication of the newspaper?
We got to laugh, Deanna, because that's all we've had from the mainstream media. They're calling us racist, fascists, Nazis, xenophobics, Islamophobics, all the bad words in the language. But our readers, they are so happy to finally have a newspaper who's telling them the truth.
That's wonderful. I applaud your efforts. I think that's wonderful. Now, do you have a lot of subscribers? You just started the newspaper in January. Are a lot of people subscribing?
Well, many are, but not enough, of course. As you know, it's a tough job to start a newspaper these days. But basically, it's impossible. As you may know, newspapers are folding right and left. So in the midst of this turmoil, we have decided to try it out because we believe in the old-fashioned print newspaper. And we are growing every week. So we hope to reach some sort of equilibrium, at least by the end of the year.
And you should know, Deanna, that because the Swedish journalists, they especially hate that we translate all the articles to English so that people all over the world can read the newspapers and read about the stupid stuff that's going on in Sweden.
Well, I think that there's a lot of these same kinds of things going on here, and we have the same censorship in our newspapers that you have there. And you talked about multiculturalism. What or who do you attribute the multiculturalism to in Sweden? Is there a particular group that's promoting this?
Well, I think I have to go back to 1975 when the Prime Minister Palme, the one that was shot, you know, 20 years ago, he was the engineer behind the multicultural Sweden. But you have to know that the parliament, they were all voting for making Sweden a multicultural country. Well, now you have to know that the Swedish people knew nothing about this, but the parliament decided in 1975 that from now on, Sweden is not going to be the old Sweden, it's going to be a multicultural country. But for that, you need people from different parts of the world, don't you? So since then, they have been importing people to Sweden, so we have been growing by 1 million just in 5 years or something, and that's a lot in Sweden. We are now 9.5 million people, so 1 million the last 5 or 6 years or so. And the people didn't know anything about this because they didn't say that the people were welcome here. They said that they were refugees from war zones and so on. So, and the Swedes, they really want to be generous. They want to help refugees. So the Swedish people haven't really realized what's been going on until now. Now we have so many people from so many different countries, and the whole country is in a sort of a chaos.
I think the same applies to many other, I would even say most other countries in Europe. I'm sure that your listeners will understand that we have been in a different situation in Europe than you are in the U.S. The U.S. is a country of immigrants. So you started out on a different basis than we did. We started out on the basis of homogeneous nations, nation states, which are now being deliberately diluted by politicians who really don't like us very much and therefore want to have different people to contend with. I think they're wrong. I think they'll be in very hot water pretty soon, but that's the idea. Of course, basically, or originally, the concept of multiculturalism came from Canada. Pierre Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, introduced it. But that was in a different setting. It was to solve the problem of the conflict between English speakers and French speakers in Canada. So he came up with that idea, I think, in the late 60s. We never had that in countries such as Denmark and Sweden. We had homogeneous populations that are now no longer there.
Interesting. And, of course, our early immigrants were basically from a particular place in Europe. They weren't from third world countries. And so we are experiencing somewhat of a similar problem. Now, you said that the parliament is made up of people who really don't like the Swedish population. What is the composition of the parliament there?
Well, we have in the Swedish parliament, we have 8 parties, and 7 of them, they are really pro-multiculturalism. And now we have one party that says no to this. And this party, the Sweden Democrats, they are growing for every week. And I think that in the next election, 2014, you will see a thunderstorm in this country, because now people are really noticing what is happening. But it doesn't matter if you vote for the Social Democrats or you vote for conservatives. They all want as much mass immigration as possible.
Go ahead, Lars.
Situation is the same, I think, as in Sweden as far as the parties are concerned. We have a political party now called the Danish People's Party, which is anti-immigration, it's anti-multiculturalism, and it believes in the unity of the population and the state, and they want to integrate or assimilate people who come to Denmark. That party is also growing. And recently we have experienced a sort of political revolution in Denmark. The ancient Social Democratic Party that practically owned the state is now smaller than the Danish People's Party. They have overtaken the Social Democrats, and figures seem to indicate that the Social Democrats and their allies, the socialists and the radical left, that they'll lose the next election by leaps and bounds.
Now, in your elections, the next one in Sweden is going to be in 2014, do you have black box voting or computer voting, or do you have a paper ballot?
A paper ballot.
Okay. So you feel like the election is relatively fair, or do you really have a voice in the people who are running?
Well, the election is fair, but you see, since the journalists, they hate this party of the Sweden Democrats, and they don't want them to say their thing, so they really get bad media. So I think the election will be fair, but the journalists, they will try the best they can to make the Sweden Democrats as small as possible. But I don't think they can stop them now, because people are getting so frustrated. And I don't think that so many Swedish people really think that the Sweden Democrats are the best party ever. It's just that that is the only party that is letting people talk about these things and have a say. Do they want Sweden to stay Sweden, or do they want Sweden to become like I don't know what.
Bosnia.
Like Bosnia, you know, where they had all these civil wars. And I'm afraid that we could go there, because the situation is really, really horrible.
Now, who controls the media in Sweden and in Denmark? Is there a particular group of people who control the media and control what the journalists write?
I don't think that's the issue, really. The issue is that in both Sweden and Denmark, I would say that up to 90% of the journalists belong to the left or the far left. It's very hard, for instance, for us at Dispatch International to even get good writers, professional journalists, who are not leftists, who do not believe in multiculturalism and the joys of Islam, etc. I think that's where you have to start. If you have a group of people that agree on practically anything and also agree on what should not be talked about, then you have that situation. It does not matter really who owns the press, because the journalists control the press.
Okay. All righty, we are going to a short 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it. Not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Ingrid Carlvist and Lars Hedgaard. And the websites are ingridcarlvist.se and D-INTL.com, which stands for Dispatch International, and it is an international newspaper. You want other people in the world to know what is going on, and so it is available in more than one language, which is very good. And Ingrid is the editor-in-chief. Now, you were talking about the other journalists, and you said that they are leftists or they are far left. Are these people native Swedish or Danish, or are they infiltrators? Are they people who moved to your country just to perpetuate or to initiate multiculturalism?
No, they are Swedish and Danish journalists. They're just, you know, they are the kind of do-gooders that they think that they are. Swedes tend to think that we are the nicest people in the world, and we have to prove that every day by saying that Sweden is a shit country and Swedish culture is nothing. So we need people from different parts of the world because we don't have a culture of our own. Even the Prime Minister has said that.
That's preposterous.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just insane. Absolutely insane.
The Prime Minister said to the Swedish people that the only Swedish thing is the barbarianism.
Oh.
And this is the country that gives you the Nobel Prize, and we have so many, we used to have so many, you know, creative people and engineers and industrial people, and but we are told by the Prime Minister that we are barbarians.
Well, he probably has a lot in common with Obama. They're both idiots. I'm sorry, but that's my feelings. Well, have these immigrants, these wonderful immigrants, who they are importing into your country, contributed to make a better culture? And how? And if they did, what is their contribution?
Well, I think I can speak for both countries that it's quite a mixed bag here. Of course, many immigrants who come from countries that are a lot like us have made a contribution. No question about that. We have in our countries many people coming from other parts of the Western world, Americans, British, Germans, etc., and they have made a contribution. I would even say that people who come from Eastern Europe, Poles, etc., Russians, yes, they do make a contribution, and they present no problem. I could also mention many Chinese, Vietnamese, etc., that have settled in Denmark. Then we have another bunch of people who are a burden and a drag on our society. They do not contribute anything because they have no skills. In many cases, they are incapable of making a contribution. And if they, on top of that, belong to a religion, if you want to call it that, that absolutely forbids them to integrate even or not to say assimilate, and to live off of other people's work, then of course you've got a problem. And if you have hundreds of thousands of these people, as we both do, both countries do that, then you've got a problem. And so now what we are experiencing is an undermining of our welfare states. You don't have that kind of a welfare state in the U.S. At the moment. You may have it in future. But we simply do not have enough productive Swedes and Danes to pay the taxes to cover the expenses of people coming from Somalia and Egypt or Syria or Iraq or Iran or other parts of the world, Bangladesh, etc., Pakistan, Turkey. We don't have the manpower. Even if people worked 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and paid 90% of their income in taxes, they could not possibly hope to cover the expenses.
And your politicians just don't seem to be aware of this. Are they stupid or what?
Well, that's the question I ask myself every day, Diana, because they can't be that stupid. Of course, they know all the facts, they know all the figures, and I struggle to understand why they are doing this. Do they hate Sweden? Do they hate Swedish people? Or did they mean something good from the beginning, and then it got way beyond what they thought would happen, and now they can't say, "Oh, sorry, we were wrong," because that would be too shameful for them. So they just go on and make things worse for every day. But I really can't tell you why they're doing this. Do you have a suggestion, Lars?
Well, I can try. I've been thinking about the same problem. You could say in the beginning, politicians thought, and also the cultural elite thought, that people would change the minute they crossed the border. They would become totally different people. They would love our superior culture so much they would strive to become like Danes and Swedes. But that was many years ago. That was 3 or 4 decades ago.
Interesting. All righty, we do have a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. I think the whole thing is deliberate, and I think we also have a welfare state here. We have so many people living off the country, off the taxpayers, that is just absolutely terrible. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guests today are Ingrid Carlvist and Lars Hedgaard. The websites are ingridcarlvist.se and d-intl.com, which stands for Dispatch International. And we were talking about, I always like to know, okay, who's behind all of this stuff? What happened in our country on 9/11, was it the Mossad and the CIA probably together created or orchestrated 9/11 and then blamed it on somebody else so that we would all hate the Muslims in this country? And that is kind of what they do. And when you have the CIA and Mossad working together, then you can kind of say, well, gosh, okay, so it was Israel and the U.S. government that perpetrated this, and why is it that they want us to hate these people? Do you think that's going on in your country, that they are trying to get you to hate a particular people, and that's the people that they're going to import and then force you to feed and clothe these people while they go around and commit rapes and all kinds of other crimes?
Well, I've got to say that I do not subscribe to your theory about 9/11. I don't think it was orchestrated by the CIA or Mossad. I think it's well proven by now that the people behind this were jihadists, holy warriors from Al-Qaeda-related outfits, Saudi Arabia and others. So I do not subscribe to that.
So, Lars, you really think that the U.S. government, the strongest military force in the entire world, stood down and allowed a bunch of people living in a cave to come in and take over airplanes that they weren't skilled enough to fly and ram them into three buildings, the Pentagon and the Twin Towers?
I don't know. I have never thought about it that way. My feeling would be that they had paid no attention to that possibility. I don't think they're that evil or that devious that they would do such a thing. I think it was a lack of vigilance on the part of the authorities that they permitted this to happen.
There's really no coincidences. If something was happened, it was meant to happen. And in the year previous to 9/11, there were 67 other events when the authorities did respond to a plane that had gone off course. And so on this day, when they were already having a military drill, that they just let this happen, or were so stupid. You mentioned, Ingrid, before that politicians could not say, "Oh gosh, we made a mistake." But I find that politicians do that all the time. That they say, "Oh, we just didn't anticipate that they would ever do this or that would ever happen. Oh my goodness, we didn't know that all these immigrants would cause all these problems in Sweden." Well, I think it's all deliberate. I think they're trying to destroy your economy. They're trying to destroy your country. They're trying to destroy your culture. And I think it's egregious beyond belief.
Yeah, but it's so you can't really understand it, because why would they want to destroy their own country? It doesn't make sense. But I think that the biggest problem that we have is not it is really the Muslim immigration, and what's going on here is you could call it Islamization, because the politicians, they are so willing to let the Muslims do whatever they want, because if they don't get what they want, they will start bombing you and threatening and so on. So that's really the biggest problem we have right now.
Well, I don't think that any of the Muslim countries actually have any of the equipment to bomb anyone.
Saudi Arabia, they have a great deal of money, and that we know that they are funding mosques all over Europe, all over the world, and they put in a lot of money. And it's not just building the mosque, because they pay the really hateful imams that are getting young Swedish Muslims. They're even born in Sweden, but they go to Syria now to make jihad. And what will happen when they come home to Sweden again? Because, you know, they hate everybody who's not a Muslim. Well, they also hate Muslims of a different kind. So I think that is our biggest problem right now.
But also, there was, as you may recall, there was testimony before a Senate committee, I think it was about 20 years ago, that to the effect that Saudi Arabia mostly Saudi Arabia had invested $100 billion in the Islamization of the West, as Ingrid explained, building mosques, building up organizations, paying people, etc., taking over companies in the Western world, etc.
Okay, you're talking about Wahhabism, which is not really Islam, but it's run by the Jews.
Is it really?
Yes.
No, please. Are you serious? Saying that?
Yes, I'm very serious. Let's go back to your politicians that are supposed to be Swedish, and yet they don't seem to have a Swedish mentality, and they don't seem to like the Swedish people. Could they be internationalist? Because I suggested that they're trying to destroy your country. And I think that you also agree that they seem to be destroying the country and the culture. So are they really internationalist?
Well, I think they would call themselves that. But I don't think that... I think it's gotten out of control. And sometimes I wonder if Saudi Arabia is paying the Swedish politicians too, because so many strange things are happening here, and nobody is willing to talk about it, and the parties don't want to say where they get their money from, especially the Prime Minister's party. They refuse to tell where the money comes from. So I think that is the biggest problem.
Don't you have laws that they have to say where their campaign funds come from?
Who? Parties?
Yes.
In Denmark? I don't think so. I think they can take any money they want. We don't have your American laws, as far as I know about that. But I think I think it's preposterous of you to suggest that the Wahhabis are run by Jews. I have to inform you that I'm a Jew, and also I have a daughter who's a Jew, of course, and three grandchildren who are Jewish. It's preposterous of you to suggest that Wahhabis should somehow be ruled by Jews. There are no Jews in Saudi Arabia. What I think has happened is that our politicians did not know what they were really getting into. So they grabbed the tail of the tiger and claimed that this was an enrichment of our countries, and now they cannot let go of that tail because the tiger will turn around and eat them. If they were to admit that they made a huge mistake, result would be catastrophic for them. They would have to really dig deep into their hearts and admit that they've been idiots. I think that's what's happened.
Well, politicians just aren't ever, they don't ever admit that. The politicians here in this country would never admit anything like that. They would just attribute it to somebody else, or they would attribute it to, oh, we didn't know, it was ignorant. And people can be very skilled in being very inefficient, orchestrated inefficiency.
Yes, that's possible. You're right. It does occur occasionally that politicians in these countries admit to a mistake, but not that big a mistake. It's like the 1930s in Britain, where you have the appeasers of Nazi Germany. I think very few of them would admit that they'd made a mistake in appeasing Adolf Hitler and the Munich Accords in 1938, etc. You had a guy like Winston Churchill who was not really taken seriously by the political elite. He was then eventually made prime minister, but I think the rest of them never really admitted openly that they had made a big mistake. And I think that applies to our politicians as well. You can admit to making minor mistakes, but not these colossal mistakes.
Like saying, you know, I never had sex with that woman. That's a mistake that even Swedish politicians would...
Pardon me? Okay. Now, where did that come from?
You know, it's just that the Swedish politicians, they can... you know, the Swedish journalists, they don't really scrutinize the power anymore. But what they do is that they're chasing ministers who have been seen with prostitutes or something like that. That is a big scandal in Sweden. But no journalist is really looking into what happened to this country. Why did you take this decision? Why are you continuing to take these decisions that will make our country bankrupt in a few years, I'm sure, because as Lars said to you before, we don't have so many taxpayers now that can really support these these refugees, so-called refugees, that can't read and write, they can't and they won't work, because they think that they're coming to this paradise on earth where you don't have to work. They don't understand that the welfare state is built by people who are willing to pay taxes, because if something happens to them, if they get sick or disabled or something, then the state will provide for you. They think that they can just come here, and they think that Swedish people are so stupid. Why do you give us all these things? If you insist on doing it, we'll take it. We don't want to work. We just want to have your money.
Okay, well, obviously, somebody made a deal with somebody. Who promoted the immigration of these people? Obviously, you had, whether it was Iraq or politicians in Iraq, and of course the politicians in Iraq right now are installed by the U.S. Government, and then you have the politicians in your country. And who told these immigrants to expect a handout when they got to your country? Now, somebody's lying here. The politicians in a couple of countries, wherever these people come from, are giving them the wrong idea. And of course, I totally believe that these people wouldn't be leaving their country to begin with if the country hadn't been bombed to smithereens by the Allies, by the U.S. forces, the British forces. People usually don't want to leave their country. They would rather remain, where they have lived all of their lives. The only reason they're leaving is because they've been sold a bill of goods that somebody would take care of them at the other end. So you've got some lying politicians in your countries, as well as lying politicians in the countries of origin.
Well, you know, lying politicians is certainly a big problem in all countries, as far as I'm concerned. But in the sense that the immigration of from Muslim countries did not start as a result of Western bombing of their societies. It started way before that. It started basically around 1970, the early 70s, in the big way. If you want to go back to a sort of deal that paved the way for this, you've got to study a very important work by an Egyptian historian by the name of Badi Orr, who wrote an influential book called Eurabia. You know, there was an oil crisis back in 1973 after a war in the Middle East, where the oil-producing countries boycotted, refused to sell oil to Western Europe. It was a major havoc. It created fear. So the European Union, it wasn't called the European Union then, but European communities made a deal, basically, as Batuor describes, with the oil-producing countries that in Western Europe we would permit basically unlimited immigration of their surplus populations to come to our countries, and we would not even try to integrate them, that we would allow them to continue living according to their own culture and Muslim Sharia law. And that, I think, is the basic compact that has been governing the situation in Europe ever since. So I think that is where it all started, really.
Well, I mean, that 1973 was actually orchestrated so that they could take control of, when you, somebody once said, it was Rockefeller, if you control the oil, you control the world. And I think you can say the same thing about food and water and everything else. When you control essential resources that people use every day, need every day, then you control people. And I believe, since the population movement out of Russia and other places, that usually those population movements are deliberate in order to impact the culture, in the very places that these people move to. So whether it started in the 70s or whether it started, after 9/11, I believe that it was deliberate. And I do believe that Sweden, as well other countries, are on the precipice of being destroyed economically and culturally because of an international movement that only affects Sweden, Denmark, and other countries in Europe, but that it affects the whole world. And I think it's internationalism is the real cult here, the people behind that movement. Well, we are kind of on a break. We will be right after a word from our sponsor. But when we come back, could you tell me if you know Barbara Lerner-Sister? And can you tell me of her organization? It's called PIDEA. I probably am not pronouncing it properly. But it's the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden. And she claims it's behind a lot of the multiculturalism in Sweden. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the Declaration were void or obsolete without the right and the consent. They see themselves as equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent of the right. We turn the jury customarily impaneled by the elect county sheriff and one where people peer with information. Delivery Machine Company, Michigan.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your under debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can! It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on it, and we guarantee results in writing. Call now, 800-77-926. Let our team of experts provide with the resources to fight back, stop con calls, and prevent and wage garnishments and bank loans. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-925. Talk to an expert who has also completed a program. Call 800-477-926 for info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Time to relax and unwind. What better way to do so than with Santa Barbara Bell? For over 25 years, our wind chimes have been helping people to relax and enjoy life. Turn your home environment to a pleasurable experience. From the small overture chime to the large super bass, you will find just the right chime to enjoy. All wood, strings, and cordage protected long life, and parts are rust-proof. You have 10 sets to choose from. To see and hear more of the chimes, go to santabarbara.com or call us at 805-733-1513. Santa Barbara Bells is currently having a springtime sale. Come to the website and save up to 50% on all of our chimes. SantaBarbaraBells.com.
Hey, welcome back. This is Deanne. Our guests today are Ingrid Carlvis, our head guard. And the websites are ingridcarlvis.se and d-intl.com, which stands for Dispatch International. And I mentioned right before the break a lady who started an organization called PIDEA, which is the European Institute for Jewish Studies in Sweden. And in a video that I watched, she said that she and group were intent on making Sweden multicultural. Are you familiar with this woman?
No, absolutely not. I think she's such a peripheral person that we've never even heard of her. There are crazy people of all kinds, but we've never heard of a woman.
Oh, really? Anyway, she said that that her and her group were behind the multicultural movement in Sweden.
Well, I think that she's lying, actually, because I've never heard her. I've never seen a story in a Swedish newspaper or a Swedish TV channel or radio station. Never.
But if those are if those that media is controlled, as you say, then you probably wouldn't hear of her.
Well, but how is she going to introduce multiculturalism if she's never heard of? No, I think that's she's just a peripheral person. I think you have to look at the politicians and maybe, as Lars told you before, about the Eurabia. I think that is where you can find your answers, if there is a conspiracy behind this. I'm not sure. I think in Sweden's case, it's just a bunch of ignorant politicians wanting to be champions of good heart, the best, the nicest people in the world. And so they thought that by letting so many so-called refugees come here, we would be considered the most good-hearted country in the world. And I must tell you that when you said before that people really don't want to leave their countries, I don't think that's absolutely true, because many of these people, they have kind of poor lives, or they have very poor lives in Somalia, for example. And you have to work really hard to make a living. But some Somalis come here, and then they tell their relatives, if you come to Sweden, you get all the money you want, and the more children you have, the more money you get. So we have people coming here with 8 or 9 or 10 children, and they don't even need to work, because the money you get from the welfare state is enough for a whole family to live on. So that is the problem. So many people, they want a better life, and they know that in Sweden, nobody tells you have to work. Well, they say it, but, I mean, it's not true.
My goodness. All righty. We are going to go to our station ID. And when we come back, now, do you have lobbies in your country as we have here, where corporations pay lobbyists to go to Washington and pay off the politicians so that the politicians will vote a particular way? Do you have lobbies in your country? We'll get to that when we come back from the station break. Be right back in about 3 minutes.